The Bears are back at OTAs, and at least one person isn't talking about the Caleb Williams scandal. We got all that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Philly. We've got Steve Greenberg. Do you remember you were our special guest last time? Now you are returning guest, Steve Greenberg. Or in the little subtitle, should it be like, Steve Greenberg joins again? Something like that, the way podcasts do?
I'd just like to think that's how special I am. How special I am to you, to the Sun-Times, to everyone listening.
And we are sitting at Hallis Hall after the Bears' second OTA practice of Phase 3, Steve, which is a fancy way of saying practices look like practices. We just got done talking to three or four Bears players and coaches, none of whom notably were Caleb Williams. The Bears did not make him available after practice today to answer to the book excerpt last week that detailed how he and his dad, Carl, were trying to scheme a way to get him to the Vikings. And that part of that scheme included maybe we should just napalm the city of Chicago and make it so it's untenable for them to draft him. His dad called Chicago the place where quarterbacks go to die, which is not an incorrect statement. And then, as it turned out, Caleb in early April of last year, before the draft, decided that he could live with going to the Bears. With that all as precedent, wouldn't you have liked to have seen Caleb talk today?
Well, it would just be the smartest thing to do. It's easy to disarm something before it's a five-alarm fire. This is no five-alarm fire, but it is the subject of the day. It is the subject of the moment with the Bears. It will move forward with them into the rest of the offseason and into the season. If they're losing or he's getting sacked 68 more times or he ever even just looks unhappy or sounds unhappy or any of that. So, yes, of course, just take the air out of the balloon right away. Caleb Williams and you know, Bears PR, and make that happen, because it's just the obvious thing to do. Instead, it'll wait and it'll linger as something we're talking about.
And he's so good at a podium in terms of being able to express exactly what he means, that I think he could walk up and say, yeah, I wanted to play with Justin Jefferson. What red-blooded American male quarterback in college wouldn't?
Right.
And then I met everybody here and decided that I want to win here, and I like it. And we'd then give him 10 more minutes of questions, but I think it would be a good place to start.
Sure, or walk up and say, man, what the hell was I thinking? And everybody laughs, and it's over. So, right. Yes.
And Ben Johnson did a version of that today. He did address it. He was giving kind of some opening statement about the first week of practice and just kind of ho-hum stuff.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and finally, I understand that my quarterback's been in the news. And gave a little smirk and said, I figured I'd address it head on. And then proceeds to say nothing in particular, short of he'd talked to Caleb about it. He and Caleb are in lockstep. He thinks Caleb, you know, essentially is acting as though this is the place he wants to be and the place he wants to win. Fairly boilerplate stuff, but the way he went about it in our world is just so different than what we're used to with Matt Eberflus, who had a tendency to try to put a fire out with something that's very, very flammable. I'm trying to think, what's flammable short of like gasoline? Some sort of polyester, I don't know.
My something. Feelings.
But yeah, if this was his first big audition to see how he can handle the storms that come with being the boss here. And I thought he handled it fairly admirably.
He has impressive range right off the bat to be someone who everybody described, which I'm sure you're going to bring up, as really intense on the practice field, to have the kind of poise and ease and rhetorical skill that he seems to possess in the never-ending task of being the number one spokesman for the team and dealing with the media. So he's as coaches go at all levels in all sports, he's quite good, and that's nice for us. I think Bears fans will appreciate it too. But I also think, you know, that's the kind of thing that means something to anybody, meaning players and and a staff. I mean, you want to be communicated clearly with, and everybody likes a winning personality. He seems to possess that.
And this is a guy who's never done it before, too. I mean, never been a head coach at any level, has, you know, joked last time you were here, Steve, that he'd never been able to blow the whistle and have a play actually stop before. And so I think he did well. That's not to praise the organization too terribly, because, like you said, the way to really nip this in the bud would be to just let the quarterback talk about it and put it to rest. But I thought he did well. The best thing he said, and I'm sure you agree too, is, you know, somebody asked him about Carl Williams' statement that Chicago's where quarterbacks go to die. Once again, I'll add parenthetically.
Right.
A true statement. And here's a quote from Ben Johnson. I love it. I love it. I love the opportunity to come in here and change that narrative. That's where great stories are written. Number one, great stories are written where you and I sit, wherever we sit. I'm just saying.
That's right.
But I thought that was a clever way to answer that question.
I do too. Although I'm sure, you know, everything Carl Williams said and Caleb Williams felt is a version of something any probably offensive skill player, you know, feels before before choosing the Bears.
Right.
Not, you know, it's not always a choice. Sometimes it's the only option. Sometimes it's, you know, it's whatever it is. But with but Ben Johnson chose the Bears, and I'm sure he thought of these very things and more before doing that. So, you know, someday Johnson will tell us how much he related to what Caleb said. And it might be part of a good story, not a bad one.
Not a bad one. He had a really interesting response, too, to the tush push.
Yeah.
And I just want to get to that briefly. We don't need to linger too long, but he was asked what he thought about the tush push. He essentially said, you ever seen a tush push get turned into an explosive play?
Right.
No, you've never seen it streaking down the field? I'm more interested in explosive plays than I am in the tush push. Something like that. Boy, that came across as funny, but also cocky in a way that I'm sure will be thrown in his face if the Bears struggle either in short yardage or struggle against the Eagles when they play them the day after Thanksgiving.
I heard it and I immediately thought that's a radio drop right there that's going to be played if and when the Bears struggle on third and short.
Right.
I mean, it is true that the tush push is not an explosive play. And by the way, I'm going to be 12 years old and just say it's funny that he had tush and explosive in the same sentence. But you better be able to line up and push another team around sometimes. And Bears fans and every fan of every team ever in football wants their team to be that kind of team. So, you know, if he's going to be going for big plays on third and one, God help him.
The news, of course, today was that the tush push lives, that the Packers, who had proposed it, I think with some nudging from the NFL, you know, reworked the wording to say, hey, let's make it so nobody can push anybody ever, regardless of what position you're playing. They thought that that would help get it across the goal line. It did not. So the Bills and the Eagles, who are the two teams that run the play, are probably pretty thrilled. And I think the rest of the league has got to find a way to stop it. The direct quote, by the way, from Ben Johnson, man, I'll tell you what. He didn't say it like that, but it's a good inflection. Man, I'll tell you what. Does it become an explosive play ever? Have you ever seen it become an explosive play? I like explosive plays. I like big plays. I'm not a big tush-push guy myself. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. It's one to remember. You know, the tush-push has fascinated me. And I know we won't linger on it.
But, no, we can linger a little.
But didn't Chris Chandler once get, you know, really hurt on a little quarterback sneak? Grady Jarrett was talking about how, well, you know, there isn't this history of players getting hurt on it, even though you're in a compromised position. Every time I watch it, I think, you know, is everybody going to survive this play? Mm-hmm. And I am surprised all the time at the, you know, it's one thing if the Patriots would sneak Tom Brady all the time. They did it. They did it so well. He didn't seem like the sturdiest guy, and he pulled it off. It was one thing. You know, Jalen Hurts is so physical with the way he runs it.
Right.
You know, what happens the one time he doesn't get up?
Sure.
You know, then the tush push dies right there forever. But for now, I don't understand why any team doesn't do it. You know, Caleb Williams is a strong guy. Justin Fields was such a strong lower body. Like, those guys would be good at it, right?
Have you noticed Caleb's lower body when you're out here? Caleb has huge thighs.
Huge, yeah.
Huge legs.
Born to tush push.
I think, you know, the Bears at the owners meeting when the first version came out, I think the Bears were for banning it. And I think George McCaskey was apologizing to anybody who he bumped into. He was apologizing for siding with the Packers about anything. But their idea was they did not believe it was a safe play. It may prove to be an unsafe play. And I guess, you know, the hope is that it's nothing too ugly whenever that day does come.
Yeah.
You know, covering football, and you cover college football all the time, too, I think we long ago had to make some sort of psychic peace with the fact that something really ugly may happen every day you go to the park. And in a way, I think as fans, fans tune that out too. And I think, I don't know whether we've ever talked about this, but the first exhibition game every year, somebody gets hurt and I sit there and go, oh my God, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, right.
And then by the second exhibition game, I'm kind of interested. And then by the third, I'm, you know, checking my Twitter account.
You're getting in your
time. While they're running the trainer out, and it's not because I'm a monster. I hope, you know, but it is. I think you get so used to the violence of the sport that you don't really compute what it actually means when somebody's on the ground like that.
I think the perverse appeal runs both ways, and that's why it works as like it does. People are on some level attracted to the violence and the possibility of someone getting hurt, just as they're horrified by it. Yeah. And even if they're compassionate about it, you know, football is the sport that makes you feel the most,
right,
the range of emotions. And so that's why people love it.
If that's not America, I don't know what is, Steve. Other just quick hitters from today. Steve, we watched practice for an hour and 20 minutes, something like that. It was in the Walter Payton Center because it was raining. Guys who weren't there include the Bears' first two picks, Colson Loveland, who we knew would not be able to participate because of that shoulder surgery. Luther Burden still got a soft tissue thing from when he landed awkwardly at the end of the second rookie minicamp. Kyler Gordon, coming off his brand new contract, wasn't there. That's interesting. And a couple of defensive linemen, I believe Jervon Dexter and Andrew Billings, were gone. And checking my notes very briefly, Ryan Bates, the offensive lineman, and Braxton Jones. I'm sorry, Zach Pickens was not there, not Jervon Dexter. It's a voluntary OTA, pretty good attendance, all things considered. And I would guess that when you've got new bosses around, everybody should be pretty motivated to show up and do their best.
Well, I heard two words above all others there, Colson Loveland.
Yeah.
Just because, and not even just because he's not there, but just waiting for him to be there, waiting to watch him practice, waiting to start to get an early impression of the impact he's going to make. It feels incomplete without him here. Just the small spectacle of it all, of an OTA. I want to see 84.
We'll leave after this, but I think it's worth putting out there. 2 weeks from now when Caleb Williams talks, because that's currently the plan, what would you want to know most? What would be your, if you get one question, what would you ask?
That's a great way to think about it. I think that's a good question to ask yourself before writing anything.
It's a good question
to ask yourself before going to work any day.
It's what I try to ask myself on the car ride up sometimes.
Yeah,
right.
No, that's really smart. I mean, I would love to know, what his experience is based on what he feared. And, you know, a new coaching regime isn't going to address everything that was implied in what he said. It was an organizational thing. It was an ownership thing. It was a culture and standard and all that sort of stuff. So where is he on the spectrum of, honestly, of his concerns being put to rest?
Yeah, I'd love to know in the middle of last season, like when you drive home and you go, I knew it was going to be like this. Like when it's a disaster.
Right.
And he sits there and goes, this is, we knew it, or we feared this, or whatever. I'd love to know if at any point he gave serious consideration to doing anything about it. As in throwing his hands in the air. I mean, this guy took every snap for them. You know, he answered the bell you know, every game. Whether he played well or not is a different question, but if you're, you know, a year removed from college and you're sitting there going, how was I smart enough to see this coming, and nobody right. else here was.
If the quarterback, particularly a number one, you know, overall kind of guy, at any point betrays the slightest bit of bad morale, mm-hmm. right? That will be seen by absolutely everybody in the building, and it will affect everything.
Yep.
So, boy, that's going to be, you know, where this Caleb Williams story goes or not.
Well,
and if it doesn't and go in that direction, you know, he should be great, but well, if it does, it's just the next Bears chapter of at this position.
Well, I think that's what Seth's book is about. It's not just about Caleb, it's about quarterbacks for the last 150 years and how it's a very uniquely American role that you're expected to play. And that part of that role is you can't have doubt. You know, right. you have to be the leader of the team at every turn. And nobody expects that out of the point guard. You know, if the cleanup hitter gets ejected for arguing balls and strikes, that's not some sort of reflection upon the very value system that your team holds. With a quarterback, it absolutely is. And that's just so different.
It's almost absurd, but just imagine if any other player at any other position, even, you know, an All-American in college had, you know, cried with his mom mm-hmm. after a loss, and, you know, that really kind of punctuated a difficult period, a difficult stretch. I don't think that person, you know, wouldn't be, it wouldn't raise concerns,
yeah.
but I think it also would have been a generally sympathetic moment,
right.
and people would have appreciated the sentiment behind it. Boy, he cares. I love that guy. But not with the quarterback.
Maybe if you play left guard, that's okay, but not if you play quarterback. Joe Tooney also talked about his new contract. Nothing shocking other than he decided he wanted to be here. And for a guy who's played for the Chiefs and the Patriots and have won Super Bowls at both places, he could leave at the end of the season had he wanted to and go find a place that was built to win now. I think that it shows a little bit of faith in the Bears that he wanted to stay. Also, you know, money is good. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, he's going to end up with $17.5 million a year for the next 2 years. That's probably hard to walk away from.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it. Steve, anything else grab you today?
No.
Olympic flag football. Will you watch it or not?
I am not someone who will be capable of caring about Olympic flag football, no matter how hard I try, but maybe if there's a local angle.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to beat the U.S. in Olympic flag football?
Nobody.
NFL players.
Yeah, nobody.
Well,
yeah.
What's the
point?
And well, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is that it's 5-on-5.
Is this going to elevate flag football like the Dream Team did basketball? I don't think so.
No, but you know what this is? The NFL is going to own flag football teams.
Yeah.
They are going to use it as a way to promote the sport, particularly to women, I believe, and to people who are uncomfortable by the idea of the icky contact that we just talked about with concussions and injuries. And that my guess would, I would bet you a good amount of money that if the Olympics end on July 30th, 2028, that by that following spring, there is an NFL-sponsored flag football team in our city and in many others.
Well, I'm still slotting it just one spot above pickleball on my list. Pickleball is at the bottom. It will stay at the bottom.
Is it because of the name? Or the little thumping?
No, it's just the silliness of the name. It's just me being judgmental and, you know, it's me being me. I hear it's the most fun thing in the world, but I can't wrap my head around the name.
Do you ever watch team handball at the Olympics?
I have.
That's great.
It's
sign
awesome.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah.
It's good times. Well, we'll see. Somebody, forget which player, I think it was Kevin Byard, said today that he thought Caleb Williams would be a really good flag football quarterback. By that point, if he's still with the Bears and making what he will be making with the Bears, if I were the Bears, I would kindly tell him, absolutely not, young man. We are paying you $50 million a year. But that would be a good problem to have. Caleb's got to get through a little tempest now and then probably many more in the future before the 2028 Olympics. He is Steve. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. Jason Leisure is afield, but is obviously a huge part of what we do here. Please follow him and Steve and myself on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, please buy a paper. He's Steve. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.